Someone may question, say, we believe in the pre-decree of Allah, in al-qada wal-qadr, it's good and bad from Allah the Exalted. Is it therefore correct to attribute evil to Allah? And is evil part of Allah's action? Allah the Exalted is high above evil, and evil should not be attributed to Him because He is perfectly wise, perfectly just, and all merciful in all of His actions. The question was, we believe in al-qada wal-qadr and pre-decree, but is it therefore correct to attribute evil to Allah, and is evil part of Allah? Allah's actions. Allah the Exalted is high above evil, and evil should not be attributed to Him because He is the most perfect, most wise, most just, most merciful in all of His actions. But then how is it that good and evil are from Allah? This is in the hadith, and we believe in that. Knowing that one cannot attribute evil to Allah, so how is it that good and evil are from Allah, knowing that one cannot attribute evil to Allah, as the Prophet ﷺ made it clear in his saying, لَبَّيْكَ وَسَعْدَيْكَ وَالْخَيْرُ كُلُّهُ فِي يَدَيْكَ وَالشَّرُّ لَيْسَ إِلَيْكَ أَنَا بِكَ وَإِلَيْكَ تَبَارَكْتَ وَتَعَلَيْكَ. In the hadith related by Muslim, I respond to your call, O Allah, and I am obedient to your orders. All good is in your hands, and the evil is not attributable to you. I am by you, and to you blessed are thee, and exalted are you. So Allah, the Prophet ﷺ made it clear that evil is not attributable to you, O Allah. This issue is understood in the light of the fact that in matters of the defined decree or preordainment, and in what is decreed, if we understand these matters, then we'll be able to understand this question, inshallah. Evil, therefore, is not in His decree itself. Evil is not in Allah's decree itself, because it represents Allah's knowledge. The decree of Allah represents Allah's knowledge, ability, writing, will, and creation. And all of these attributes and actions are good and perfect. And therefore, evil is not inherent in the decree itself, in Allah's decree. If evil is one of Allah's actions, a name of Allah would have been derived from it, and there is none. Evil, however, is in what is known as the maqdur, which is what is decreed in Allah's creation. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ said in one supplication, and protect us from the evil of what you decreed, in the evil of what you decreed. Al-Maqdur, this is named Al-Maqdur, the decreed in Allah's creation that is manifested. The Maqdur is either good or evil. Even when it's evil, it is relative and not pure evil. You see, meaning what's decreed in Allah's creation, even if it is evil, it is relative and it's not pure evil. It is evil in one respect, good in another. Or it is evil in one case and good in another. Evil is in Allah's creation, not in Himself, not in attributes, not in names, not in actions. He is above associating any evil to Himself and to His attributes, since all are perfect and majestic. His names are Husna, best and most beautiful. His actions are all wise, full of mercy and all just. He is praised for all of that, so it is impossible to attribute evil to Him. What is evil? Now, this will help us to understand the subject really clearly. Evil is placing things in their unsuitable place, and this is injustice. Evil is placing things in their unsuitable place, and this is injustice. Although Allah is the creator of everything, including good and evil, He is high above being unjust. He places things in their proper places, and this is all good. And this is all good, because evil is, by definition, placing things in their unsuitable places. And this is injustice. And this cannot be attributed to Allah. Although Allah is the creator of everything, including good and evil, He is Allah above being unjust. And He places things in their proper perspective, and because of that, they become all good. That's why evil is not attributable to Him. Even when Allah punishes certain people for their evil doing, it cannot be said that this constitutes evil on Allah's part. In fact, it is His justice and wisdom. Take for example the saying of Allah. This will be clear in this verse. ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس. لماذا؟ ليذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا. ليش؟ لعلهم يرجعون. Evil, sins and disobedience to Allah has appeared on land and sea because of what? Because of what the hands of men have earned by oppression and evil deeds. And what is the wisdom? That Allah may make them taste a part of that which they have done. In order for what? In order that they may return by repenting to Allah and begging His pardon. The appearance of evil on land and sea is evil in itself, there is no doubt about it. But there is also great wisdom and good behind it. In order that they may return to Allah, cutting off the thief's hand or stoning the adulterer is an evil thing for the thief and the adulterer. But it is good for them in one respect, because it is a purification for them, so that the punishment of this life and the hereafter are not combined for them. It is also good in another respect, in the sense that it protects the society from such evil deeds. Everything attributed to Allah is good. Had evil been attributable to Allah, it would not be evil. What made it evil is its attribution to Allah's created beings and their deeds. Certainly Allah created it and willed it to occur, and from this respect it is not evil. So the mere existence of evil is not evil in itself. The mere existence of evil is not evil in itself. It becomes evil when it is deprived from good and its means, and when it is placed in other than its proper place. Even then, its evil is still relative. Also, existing matters are not evil in themselves, but they may turn evil in relative weight. Prostration is not evil in itself, but when it is linked to other than Allah, it becomes evil. Prostration, sujood is not evil in itself, but when it is linked to other than Allah, it becomes evil. So if someone prostrates to someone from the creation, it becomes evil. Certainly Allah is free from doing this evil, and it cannot be attributed to Him. The nature of oneself is ignorant. The nature of oneself is ignorant, unjust, and not self-sufficient. Allah spoke about us, وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. And Allah has brought you out from the wombs of your mothers while you know nothing. Chapter 16, verse 78. Now, Allah bestows knowledge, ability and richness on the self. The resulting good is therefore from Allah. The lack of knowledge, of faith, of patience, of willingness to do good, is absolute adam, meaning non-being, non-existing, without a doer. The lack of good attributes is therefore from the self. This non-existence and what it entails is the first kind of evil, and is an attribute of the nature of the self. Not being patient, lacking knowledge, willingness to do good, etc. The non-existence of these things and what it entails is the first kind of evil, and it is an attribute of the nature of the self itself. Its evil is not attributed to Allah. It's described with deficiency, with ignorance, and with injustice. وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. But man bore it, the amana, the trust or moral responsibility or honesty, and all the duties which Allah had ordained. Verily he was unjust to himself and ignorant of its results. Indeed Allah created him from the womb of his mother while knowing nothing. Man has been created impatient and weak. وخلق الإنسان هلوعا إذا مسه الشر جزوعا. Verily man was created anxious, very impatient, fretful when evil touches him. إلا المصلين. And also niggardly when good touches him, save those who devoted to prayer. Those who remain constant at their prayers. الذين هم على صلاتهم دائمون. والذين في أموالهم حقهم معلوم. And those in whose wealth there is a right acknowledged. للسائل والمحروم, for the beggar and the destitute. And those who believe in the day of recompense, and those who fear the torment of their Rabb. All these are exceptions. But man was created anxious, very impatient, fretful when evil touches him, and niggardly when good touches him. Save those who devote themselves to prayer. Save those who are consistent on their prayer. Save those who are in whose wealth there is right acknowledged, for the beggar and the destitute, and those who believe in the day of recompense, and those who fear the torment of their Rabb. These are excluded. وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. And man was created weak. Man is weak in his will, in determination to fight desire, in his structure, in his knowledge, in his patience. He by necessity must have someone who can protect him, strengthen him and support him. And there is none who can bestow this help and protection except Allah. If Allah abandons him, then his destruction would be closer to him than himself. He created man with such weak qualities, and he is praised on that. Man's creation is a manifestation of Allah's wisdom and might. Whatever is done or entailed by the created being with respect to the Creator is goodness, justice and wisdom, because it originates from the perfect attributes of richness, knowledge, might, wisdom and mercy. While with respect to man, however, it's divided into good and evil, nice and ugly, obedience and disobedience, goodness and wickedness, prayers, fasting, hajj, fornication and adultery, theft, eating and drinking. This mixture of deeds is a reflection of man's weakness, ignorance and need, producing the evil work as well as the conformity to Allah's commands and prohibitions. That would mean producing what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the good deeds. So the mixture of deeds is a reflection of man's weakness, ignorance and need, and this produces the evil work, as well as the other mixture, the other part of the mixture, as well as the conformity to Allah's commands and prohibitions, and this is what produces what pleases Allah. These are from the words of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. The deficiency of the self, the ignorance and injustice of own self entails evil, and that the degree of evil is proportional to the self's inherent strength and weakness. The more it is weak, the more evil it will produce. Think about the first deficiency that came upon the father of mankind, Adam. Think about that, and which spread to his offspring. It came as a result of the lack of knowledge or patience and determination. وَلَقَدْ عَهِدْنَا إِلَىٰ آدَمَ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَنَسِيَ وَلَمْ نَجِدْ لَهُ عَزْمًا. And indeed we made a covenant with Adam before, but he forgot, and we found on his part no firm will power. This is chapter Taha, verse 115. Forgetfulness, whether it is the lack of knowledge or patience, indicates, is a matter of, yani it reflects non-existence of knowledge or patience, and this will entail wrong and ignorance. When Adam alayhi salam realized the consequences, what did he say? ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا. Look at this beautiful confession. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. Our Rabb, we have wronged ourselves. If you forgive us not and bestow not upon us your mercy, we shall certainly be of the losers. Thus Adam recognized that he lost paradise because of the wrong he committed resulting from the lack of knowledge or impatience. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah described the self as being caught always between two contrasting states. If it is not occupied with the righteous and beneficial contrast, it will be busy with the corrupt and harmful contrast. Its will constantly keeps it in motion, and if it does not move towards good, it will move towards evil. Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah said, Most High and Exalted is Allah from attributing evil to Himself. Everything attributed to Him is good. He subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of both good and evil. Evil is in some of His created beings, not in His attributes of creation and action, which together with His pre-decree are all good. I will repeat this statement because of its importance. He subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of both good and evil. Evil is in some of His created beings, not in His attributes of creation and action, which together with His pre-decree are all good. All of His names and attributes are evidences against attributing evil, injustice and wrong. Though He is the creator of everything, He created the deeds of His slaves, their movements and their sayings. The slave of Allah commits evil when he does something which Allah has made unlawful. Indeed, Allah is the one who made him able to do that. Made him able to do that. This making is from Allah and it is just, wise and correct. Making him able to do is good, but what was done is ugly. He gave him the ability to do things. Making him to do is good, but what was done is ugly. Due to the great wisdom which Allah is praised for, His making let things fall in their suitable places. Thus it is good, wise and beneficial, although being done by the slave himself is deficient and evil. This is something witnessed. Putting wicked things in their suitable places, putting wicked things in their suitable places is correct, wise and just matter. It becomes unjust and ill-wise if they are placed in places other than their original and suitable places. Placing a head cover on the head, garbage in a garbage dump, this is the whole point. Placing a head cover on the head, garbage in a garbage dump, and wearing shoes in the feet are examples of placing things in their suitable places. No injustice is caused when you put your shoes on the feet or the garbage in the dump, because such places are the right places. The All Just Allah and the All Wise are names of Allah the Exalted. He therefore does not put things except in their proper places. If you ask, why did Allah create evil? I say, still Imam Ibn Qayyim answering, His creation of it is good and not evil, because creation and action are self-existent to Allah. It is impossible that evil is self-existing to Allah or an attribute of Allah. Whatever evil there is in the created is evil. That is, it is evil because it cannot be attributed to Allah. Whatever He willed is good, and whatever He willed not to bring into existence remains in its origin of non-existence. And non-existence itself is the evil. The essence of evil is the non-existence of what is necessary for the being, continuity or perfection of something. A second type of evil is the existential evil, like corrupt beliefs and wills. Anything that opposes life and existence, like illness and its causes, pain and its causes, existing impediments that prevent the attainment and deliverance of good to its suitable and agreeable places. Example, bad elements that prevent the distribution of good nutrition to the parts of the body, and false beliefs and corrupt wills that prevent its opponents, the good beliefs and wills, from reaching the heart. This is existing evil. This existential evil is not evil in itself, but rather contributory and relative. Here are some examples. Flowing water from a river used to irrigate and benefit a piece of land. Its perfection lies in its flow and reaching the target land. If its direction of flow is altered such that it will devastate another land, then the evil lies in the alteration of the direction of flow. Similarly, the will and anger are both are created to assist man in achieving what benefits him and destroying what might harm him. When they are used to fulfill such purposes, then they achieve their state of perfection, and this is good. However, if they are diverted from their good course and used improperly in places where they should not be used, then this diversion becomes the contributing relative evil. Third, the perfection of fire is in its burning. If it burns what is required to be burned, then it's good. If however it meets what is not required to be burned, it will ruin it. And this evil is relative. Also, the movement of the tongue and all of our limbs follows the same concept. Their mere existence is not evil. It is relative, using these body parts in ways and places that are not proper or suitable, then that would make them evil. With this in mind, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah gave some examples that explain the human self. One of these examples is the following. Like a fast rotating wheel or mill. Wheel, W-H-E-E-L. He's giving an example about the human self. Like a fast rotating wheel or mill. It will lay waste whatever it may snatch. The miller is in charge, making good use of it. Suddenly, the heedless one comes close to it, and it turns apart his clothes or parts of his body. If it is said to the miller, "Why did you not make it still so that it does not harm the one who comes close to it?" The miller will respond, "This is its inherent nature by which it is a mill. Had it been made of other than this nature, the required wisdom behind its being would not have been achieved." Very sound. The Prophet ﷺ sought refuge in Allah from all forms of evil of the human self when he said, وَنَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شُرُورِ أَنفُسِنَا وَمِنْ سَيِّئَاتِ أَعْمَالِنَا. In the hadith reported by Muslim, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evils of ourselves and from our own doings. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim commented, quote, "In his refuge, the Prophet ﷺ covered all roots of the self's evil. The first is its potential evil that does not manifest itself in action. This evil is in the self's nature and quality. The second is the manifested evil as allured by the self, and it is associated with acquisition and will. Both kinds of evil subject the self to punishment. Thus seeking refuge in Allah, as said by the Prophet ﷺ, concise words, covers all evil and what it entails." So from now here, at this point we know, alhamdulillah, that evil is not attributable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah willed it to be created, willed it to exist, but its presence is also relative. And its influence is also relative, and there is also good in that. The question is, now, why is there good and evil? Why is there good and evil? Both good and evil are creation of Allah. The question is, why there is good and evil? And also related to this question is, why the hearts cannot be one heart? Both good and evil are creation of Allah. And thus there must be a wisdom behind their creation. Those who raise the questions as to why Allah did not make all places suitable for His favors and why He didn't make all the hearts of one heart are ignorant about Allah's names and attributes. That's why when we emphasize so much the need to know Allah by His names and attributes, sometimes people are kind of, you know, amazed or astonished why. There are on the same level as those who ask the question, why did Allah create all the contrasts? Why did He not make them all uniform? Why has Allah created the day and the night, the up and down, the cold and hot, the illness and health, the devils and the angels, the good and bad fragments, the sweet and bitter, and the nice and ugly? All of these contrasts are entailed by His Lordship being the Lord, being the true God also who deserves to be worshipped alone. Entailed by the dominion, ability and will and wisdom of Allah. The reality of the one who possesses the kingdom is to honor his friends and humiliate his enemies. The perfection of His wisdom and ability lies in the creation of contrasts, giving each contrast whatever fits it. the manifestation of the influence of Allah's names and attributes in the world is necessitated by His Lordship and Kingdom. How could He bestow His favors, forgiveness, kindness and mercy, etc., if there is none to receive such provisions? Is it of Allah's wisdom to eliminate the abundant good for the sake of partial evil that may be associated with it? Take for example the rain by which Allah brings life to mankind. Land and trees and animals, how many travelers become trapped by rain? How many homes may be destroyed by rain? Could such effects be compared with its benefits? When compared to its benefits, aren't the bad effects like a spit in the sea? Is it a great evil to eliminate the rain only to prevent its bad effects? Allah made the sun subservient to the benefits of man. It ripens their fruits and food, develops their bodies and the bodies of the animals and birds, etc. However, it often prevents people from accomplishing certain benefits, and so often it dries out moisture and makes animals thirsty, etc. There is, however, no comparison between its benefits and its bad influence. Therefore, eliminating the abundant good because of the minor evil is in itself a great evil, and it is against what the wisdom of Allah entails. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah is speaking these words. And he said, I said to Shaykh al-Islam, who was his sheikh, he was studying with Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. He said, I said to Shaykh al-Islam, meaning to Ibn Taymiyyah, it would have been quite possible to have these matters, meaning the contrast, created completely devoid of evil and purely beneficial. He asked his sheikh. The sheikh Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah responded, creating nature as we know it without its inseparable attributes or manifestations is impossible, because the existence of the requisite without its indispensable requirements is impossible. Had nature been created on other than its known creation, it would be a different nature, and the world would have been another world and another creation. There are two worlds, high and low, two places and two populations, each with its own dwellings, with deeds and nature. Each place was created with its own population and residence, all of which is a great wisdom and a magnificent ability. Nothing is suitable for any of the created souls in high and lowly worlds except that which suits and fits what it has been created for. That's why Allah says, قُلْ كُلٌّ يَعْمَلُ عَلَى شَاكِلَتِهِ. Say, O Muhammad, to mankind, each one does according to his way what suits him, his intention, his belief. Would the rain be inseparable from what it may cause from drowning, harm and destruction? Would the sun be inseparable from its heat, smokeless flames and harm? Would childbirth be inseparable from the hardships of pregnancy, contractile pain and the pain of delivery? Would the yearly seasons be inseparable from the extreme and killer cold and the intense and harmful heat? Such questions are like saying, since the created being is in need and not self-sufficient, and this constitutes an attribute of deficiency, then why not detach him from this attribute and have him absolutely self-sufficient? The answer is given in a form of a question. Would he be a created being if he is absolutely self-sufficient? It is known that the necessities of creation are inevitably in him. It is inevitable that elevation requires lower parts, and the latter requires a supporting base or center, the lower part. The necessities of elevation, such as widened space, illumination, pleasure, good things, highly enlightened souls, suitable in its place, pleased and happy, are inevitable. Also, the necessities of the lower and the base domains, such as constriction and limitation with their associated characteristics of darkness, roughness and evil, are inevitable. What is also inevitable in these domains is the presence of dark and evil souls with their deeds and influence. So if a wicked soul from the lower world wants to be close to the good and high souls amongst the high or elevated groups, the angels, then it has chosen the thing which the wisdom of Allah, the All-Wise, rejects. Suppose a king chooses his close associates from the worst kind of people, then people would criticize his kingdom, saying he is not fit for kingship. What would you think, therefore, about those who would be close to the greatest king, the King of Kings, enjoying looking at his face, hearing his words, accompany the best and most purified and honored of his creation? Does it honor the Most High, companion Allah, and the place of high degrees to have a worldly lower soul attached to the earth, following what is necessitated by its nature, demotivated, seeking all sorts of enjoyment, all kinds of food, drinks, woman, legal or illegal, that suits its inherent qualities? The difference between such self and donkeys, dogs and cows lies only in the straightness of the body, the speech of the tongue, and the eating by the hand. Otherwise, the nature and the heart of such self is the same as those of the above animals. It may also be that the hearts and natures of these animals are better than those of the lower selves. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ شَرَّ الدَّوَابِّ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الصُّمُّ الْبُكْمُ الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ وَلَوْ عَلِمَ اللَّهُ فِيهِمْ خَيْرًا لَأَسْمَعَهُمْ وَلَوْ أَسْمَعَهُمْ لَتَوَلَّوا وَهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ. Verily the worst of moving living creatures in the sight of Allah are the deaf and the dumb, those who understand not, meaning the disbelievers. Had Allah known of any good in them, He would indeed have made them listen, as it is if He had made them listen, they would but have turned away averse to the truth. Allah is referring in this respect to those believers who are arrogant and disdainful. Is it therefore fitting that the wisdom of Allah combine the best and most purified of creation and those from the most evil, who are worse than beasts, in one place, and all on the same status, blessed or tormented? Allah said, أَفَنَجْعَلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كَالْمُجْرِمِينَ مَا لَكُمْ كَيْفَ تَحْكُمُونَ. Shall we then treat the submitting Muslims like the mujrimeen, like the criminals, polytheists and disbelievers? What is the matter with you? And he said, وَلَا يَسْتَوِي أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ وَأَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ. Not equal are the dwellers of the fire and the dwellers of paradise. It is the dwellers of paradise that will be successful. قل هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون إنما يتذكر أولو الألباب. Are those who know equal to those who not? Who know not? It is only men of understanding who will remember, that is, get a lesson from Allah's signs and verses. In fact, the higher and lower parts of the same person are not equal. His eyes are not the same as his heels, and his feet are not the same as his head. Neither of the two parts can assume the role of the other. Indeed, Allah, the most majestic and mighty, has created the good and evil, the easy and the difficult, the beneficial and the harmful. Look and see the parts of the earth. Some of its materials can be used as a wash for the eyes, and other materials are used as a fuel for the fire. Through such real examples, one knows the perfect ability and wisdom of Allah. This is the point. Through such real examples, through such contrasts, one knows the perfect ability and the wisdom of Allah. The perfect ability is in the creation of contrasts, and the perfect wisdom is in placing them according to their ranks, each in its proper place. The learned person is the one who does not set up war between the attribute of ability and that of wisdom. For example, if he believes in Allah's ability, he would slander and rebuke Allah's wisdom and vice versa, but links both of them, knowing that the wisdom of Allah encompasses all of his creation. Since nothing can exist without Allah's ability and will, it is also true that nothing exists without his wisdom. The end of Imam Ibn Qayyim and Ibn Taymiyyah's discussion on this great subject of why is there good and why there is evil and why the hearts cannot be one heart. We can, inshallah, stop here. The next subject will be covering the following cases. Number one, is man endowed with a free will? The second case, why is it that Allah may want what He dislikes? And why is it that Allah bestowed guidance on the believers and not the disbelievers? Why did he help the believer until he became a believing person, but did not help the disbeliever? And why does Allah punish the disobedient when He had preordained disobedience? So this, inshallah, we try to cover, inshallah, tomorrow. May Allah the Most High make our intentions sincerely for His sake. You can never really find, subhanallah, this except in Islam, this matter of being yani, part of the faith of Islam, that وَإِيَّاكُمْ يَا أَخِي جَزَاكَ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا, that this is a pillar of faith, a pillar of Iman is the belief and the pre-decree. And the discussion of this pre-decree as all stemming from the Quran and Sunnah, alhamdulillah, with its four ranks and the evidences that you have heard. You have nothing like this except in Islam, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah. Subhanallah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to the mushriks, to the disbelievers, when they said, you know, had it not been for Allah, we would not have been mushriks. Look at the response, how it came, subhanallah. And do you know of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends? You have foreknowledge of what Allah intended for you, to blame it on Al-Qadr, to blame it on the pre-decree of Allah. You have no knowledge of this. And had it been something that Allah ordained upon you, why then Allah is inflicting punishment on you? Why Allah would send you messengers? Why Allah would send you books? Futile arguments. And similarly, those people of sin who blame it on the pre-decree, they have no knowledge of it. Because this is a matter of the unseen, not known to them. Alhamdulillah. This, inshallah, will be real when the Muslim gives thought to his deen very well and knows this great favor of Allah upon him, that he had chosen him to be a Muslim, opened his heart for Islam. Otherwise he will be from those confused and whose hearts are constricted. They couldn't find any rest. All the time you find them unease what to follow, not convinced, in doubt. They need to learn about their deen in order to manifest that, because if it is based on ignorance, you know, so many Muslims nowadays know that prayers is the first thing of salah that we will be asked about on the by Allah on the day of resurrection. The first thing that a slave will be asked about on the day of resurrection is his salah, is his prayers. How many of us really are giving salah its due right? How many of us are really praying the prayers of Fajr in congregation, or these five prayers in congregation? How many of us are praying Salah with khushu', with tranquility, knowing that they are standing before Allah? How many of them are neglecting prayers? You find them so much clinging to radios and TVs and channels and so-called satellite channels, cling to that, and the time of salah will go, and he say, I will make it with the other one. More important is these so-called worldly affairs. Subhanallah. When we stress these matters, and sometimes when we speak to non-Muslims, or who come and attend some Muslim rooms, and Alhamdulillah, we see that the brothers are keen about inviting them to Islam and calling them to Islam. It is for their own benefit. For their own benefit. Because the Muslim cares. The Muslim really cares. Yeah, look at many of you who are here in this room. I know that perhaps those who reverted to Islam, many of them, still their parents are non-Muslims. Their families are non-Muslims. Even some of their children grown up on a state and continue to be, you know, strayed away from the path or so much. And they would love for them to be Muslims. Love for them to come to Islam. Islam and calling others to Islam is not something passive. A Muslim is not passive. Islam is not a passive religion. Islam is active in one good direction. I remember a story when in one time in the States, a lady came and accepted Islam, alhamdulillah. And after a while she came to the Imam in the mosque and said him, where were you before this? Yes, where were you before this? My parents died on kufr, on disbelief. Where were you before this?